This is the Art Beauty Podcast, where we tell the real truth about the fake shit. And today, my fabulous co-host and guest, I mean, I don't even know that you need an introduction, but he is Dr. Dennis Gross. He is the founder of Dr. Dennis Gross Skincare, a practicing dermatologist right up the block from me on Fifth Avenue. You also started in the Hamptons this year, didn't you?
I have a practice in the Hamptons. Mm-hmm. Yeah, been loving it there.
Oh, amazing. I mean, why wouldn't you? Well, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me today. Now, are you in the Hamptons now?
I'm in the Hamptons right now. I'm in the basement of my home in Bridgehampton with a bunch of people running upstairs. So we're telling you to keep it quiet. But in case you hear the pounding, it's just because my kids' friends are over. So, but that's
good. Everybody just like loving life in the Hamptons right now?
You know, it's beautiful out. The leaves are starting to change. It's chilly, you know. So, I mean, I just did a bunch of stuff this morning talking about people, how they want to change their moisturizers to like be a little bit more heavyweight. So if from a skincare point of view, what's interesting is that there's a lot of conversation going on. So all my wife's friends, the chit chat and stuff, which is what I do in my spare time. My spare time, I talk even more about skincare. But I mean,
I feel like you're probably like standing online at the grocery store and people are like, tell me this, I've got this spot, or I've got this thing going on, or dry skin.
You have no idea. I gotta tell you, I shave on weekends because I never know who I'm going to run into. And I still feel like I got to look professional.
Totally.
But yeah. Maybe when I move someplace, like remote part of the world where I don't run to people, I can grow a beard on that weekend. But anyway, yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry to tell you though, I feel like your line, it's so well known in Sephora. And so I think that kind of, they're everywhere now. So I think good luck. Good luck finding somewhere.
And I love what I do. I love it. This is, you know, it's like, this is my vocation. It's my calling. It's what I naturally love to do. So it's not work at all. I really don't want to give that impression. It's beautiful stuff. I'm really a lucky guy.
I have to say, you look fabulous. Like you look very well rested right now and relaxed. I love this weekend sort of look that you have going on.
Yeah, I do. Which is the beauty of Zoom, you know. Do you see these episodes like on these TV commercials where these guys are talking, but they're in their like boxer shorts, like from the start. Which I'm not.
I'm actually wearing a dress right now, which you can't tell. Otherwise, I would be in boxer shorts because that's how we do this. And there's been many times that I have gotten up with somebody and we've laughed about how, you know, it's like a fashion mullet, business on the top and party on the bottom, ready to go.
It's so funny.
So now I know people really think about the Hamptons normally as like a summertime destination, but for like people who have homes there, I've got some friends live out there. This is like the best time of year to be there, right?
It's so great. The traffic is gone. It's no longer like this touristy place. You know, it's sort of homey. It's country. It's just so good. But it's cold. I got to tell you. I can't believe it.
I know.
I'm drinking my hot mug of coffee here. I was doing another Zoom call outside on my back deck. And it's chilly. But I'm, you know, all good.
I mean, it's October though, right? Yeah. So, but I think this weekend is actually, the weather is supposed to be really nice. So I'm kind of all right, before we have to break out the winter coats.
Yeah.
You know, we can kind of get a little bit of fall, I hope. And speaking about fall, right? And part of the reason that I wanted to bring you on right now, I think this is so timely, is that people right now, I assume, are coming to you saying, I sat out in the sun. I got these spots, hyperpigmentation, maybe it's melasma, which is different. Is this the best time of year to start addressing these skin discoloration problems?
It is the perfect time of year to start, okay? And I just want, there's two things right off the top that you just mentioned about this time of year that I just think are important to know. The first thing is that, you know, the sun makes dark spots darker. Number one, right? Number two, when you get a tan, even if you're not a sunbather, we all have a little more color. What happens is that this is a time of year where your tan, no matter what extent it is, starts to fade.
Yep.
So you start to see the dark spots that were sort of camouflaged by your tan emerge. It seems like they're coming to the surface. All of a sudden, they're loud and clear because your skin's in the background's a little bit lighter. So that's why people are saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe, I didn't think I was getting this much sun. And here is this hyperpigmentation. And they're coming into my office, they're doing treatments because there are lasers that we can do, there are deeper peels, although I like the lasers better in my office. And now is the time of year where you can do it because you can't do those lasers in the summertime.
Right. You know, I want to ask you because a year ago, actually maybe even how it was 2 years ago, I did the halo laser for some dark spots and some of it got worse. And the point that I'm getting at is that my dermatologist was like, well, maybe it's melasma and you have to be careful. So can you tell us the difference between, you know, your sun damage, sunspots, hyperpigmentation and melasma?
Well, basically sunspots are really like little growths in the skin. Okay. A sunspot is actually the skin cells that are making pigment start to reproduce a little bit, okay? And so it's different when you have something that looks dark because there's actually tissue in the skin that is dark, that's overproducing, that you're getting the spot from, versus melasma, which is just too much pigment, okay? Which is just like too much of this brown substance that causes our skin to get tan, made in excess in globules, in little zones. It's literally as if you took a paintbrush and you put some paint on it and you threw it against the white wall, like the one behind me, okay? You get these spots all over. Exactly the same thing if you do a biopsy for melasma. Right. That's what you would see. And what you would see, though, I'll tell you, is the deposits of these pigments are at different depths in the skin. And then sometimes you look at a person, you say, my gosh, their entire forehead looks discolored or the entire upper lip. So what does that mean? It means these globules are not separated. They're combined, like chains, boom, boom, boom. So you get this big patch of discoloration, which matches what you see externally with the naked eye. So one's a growth, the other's deposit. So melasma is really truly cosmetic and treatable.
Okay. And so which one is when your melanocytes are sort of damaged and overactive and then they just start producing the bad? That's from sun damage, correct?
That's sun damage. And that leads to sunspots. It leads to moles. Okay. It leads to different types of growths that you see. That is sun damage. Now, melasma also, technically speaking, comes from too much sun. Okay. But I will tell you that freckles are not cute, right? So freckles and sunspots are in the same category. Right. A freckle is a growth too. Right. And so lots of times parents say, oh, look at my child with the little freckles on their nose. I cringe when I hear that because that little redness or sunburn from the sun that child got that leads to freckles later in the summer is actually a sign of your skin's crying out, saying this was too much sun. And the skin, instead of producing tan, a tan color there with too much sun, is just doing everything in its power so the cells themselves are reproducing. That's abnormal.
You know, it's so interesting because I guess you never really see a baby born with freckles, or do you?
No.
No.
You don't.
Okay.
Not freckles. You might have moles.
Right,
which
right,
are
right.
Different.
Yeah.
Freckles, just the true definition of the word, no way.
Right.
That's only from sun.
And also people, if you're listening at home and you're wondering, well, why is she really going into the difference? At the end of the day, a brown spot is a brown spot. It's because you can't treat them the same, correct?
You can't. That's correct.
Okay.
Freckles can be lasered. Mm-hmm. Some of the ingredients that we can talk about that we use in products for melasma and hyperpigmentation may help.
Right.
But I just feel as a dermatologist, it's really important that people understand that, you know, if you're seeing freckles form on your skin, you need to wear a sunscreen. Okay. Mm-hmm. A stronger sunscreen if you're already wearing one. And pink is the new red, right? Whether you have freckles or whether you have melasma, if your skin even gets pink from the sun at the end of the day, that means your sunscreen is not strong enough. And it's going to create more freckles. It's going to create more sunspots. It's going to create more melasma. It's going to create more sun damage. It's going to break down your collagen. You get the idea.
So all of the things we don't want. Yeah.
All the things. And so just pink is still, that's the standard. No pink. Then if you get pink, increase your sunscreen.
Yeah, I know. I try to tell this to my, you know, people all the time. And you have to reapply the sunscreen. You know, you can't just, it's not just a one and done. In terms of dealing with this, and again, going back to the difference, I think it's really important to go to a dermatologist like yourself before, you know, I think so many of us will see, especially this time of year, Groupon deals for IPL, for lasers. And I'm sure there are places where it's reputable, but you really do want to make sure you're seeing somebody, a board certified dermatologist, who can tell you, hey, this is the type of hyperpigmentation you have and that this laser isn't actually going to make it worse. Because I do know that with some lasers, melasma can be made worse.
100%.
Yeah.
And you have to know what you're doing and you have to know the settings. You know, you have to know the type of skin type of the individual. And you have to know some lasers are better than others, you know, and it's funny you should bring that, because I was just mentioning that I was on my deck with my coffee on another Zoom call. It was a person who did something with somebody they found on Groupon and had a disaster. And we were talking about her melasma because she got inflammation and then more pigment and her melasma is worse now. So that's who I was talking to.
Same, what was she doing? What kind of laser?
Well, she did this laser I'd never heard of. And it turns out the person who did it was actually training, not even a real doctor. It was a person in training. So it was a whole big to-do, et cetera, et cetera. But I have not even heard of it. Now, sometimes I'll tell you, lasers, you know, if you read these ads, you can get a laser as a dermatologist and you can rename it, you know, and you can rename it and you can play this game sounding like you're the only person in town with this laser that's so special. Where in fact, it's the laser that many people have. And you rename it, you know, for marketing purposes. I think that's what happened here. I don't know what laser she had, but I pretty much know all the lasers for melasma. I never heard of this, but I think it was one of the conventional lasers that was just not applied the right way for her in her case, unfortunately.
All right. So let's get into some of the type of lasers. I know IPL, right, is like one of like the gold standards. Is that something that you offer? Is that something you like? Is that still the best you love?
It's still, I love it, but I love the new one. Okay.
Oh.
And this is what I have in my practice. I love the upgraded laser. The IPL laser now, it's got some new modalities that allow it to do something very important. And I love how far we've already gotten this conversation because you can explain it with what I already mentioned. What I love about the new IPL is that we talked about how those globules of melanin can be at all layers. Mm-hmm. The new innovation is it goes deeper and gets more done in one treatment without the risk of burning or any rebound worsening of the pigment. So it's so on one hand you say, is it stronger? The word isn't really stronger. The word is more sensitive. Because it's the same intensity of light, but it picks up, it registers the pigmentation at the different depths more better than ever. So lots of times there's new lasers, but lots of times there are upgrades. And so I will tell you, that's what I think it's very important to keep up with laser technology and only bring into the practice those lasers that are absolutely the most modern version of themselves and the best in breed, best in class. So IPL is great, but what's really great is the newer versions. And so there are other lasers like, you know, we have the YAG laser,
right?
You know, and the Alexandrite laser. Super, super lasers also that you might've heard of, really good for distinct spots that some people have. So you have to sort of assess and do the consultation and look at the pattern of the person's pigmentation issue. Right. Some people have this melasma, but it's more patchy. Others have more regions. Like you literally can see people where half their face or just on the full side of their face, like from their ear down to their chin, halfway down through this zone, very common, is an area where the people get melasma. That would be great for IPL.
Right.
You know, then you have people who's got little spots here, little spots there. That might be better for the Alexandrite and the YAG laser because those are more spot and targeted. Okay. But the treatments are fantastic.
So you mentioned that there is a new and improved IPL. Is there like a name for this, or is it just IPL? Is there like a
It's just what year is that laser made? You know, it's just the latest laser.
Okay.
It's the latest IPL.
the latest IPL. And for people at home, I guess it's still the same. You go in. How many treatments now is it? Because I've had, I did this a while back. I actually haven't done it in a while. But I feel like it was one, pretty much one treatment, and then the spots would get darker. And, you know, very little downtime. Although if you had a huge event, you might not want to do it 2 or 3 days before.
Yeah.
So but is it still the same? Yeah.
It is the same. And okay. It's pretty much one, maybe two treatments. One treatment is dramatic. One treatment right. gets a tremendous amount. But you know what? Maybe your dark spots, maybe your melasma wasn't so intense because
right.
you had a little bit of that discoloration look darker. Okay. And then it falls off, right? It disintegrates. It sort of like right. exfoliates off by itself. The darker the person, the more intense the melasma, the darker the melasma turns, right? Because why? The laser is picking up. It's detecting more pigment to destroy.
Yeah.
And then it looks darker on the skin. And then it's going to take longer for it to fall off. There's no free lunch, right? You got to get rid of it. It's got to come off.
No. Listen, I was a tanning salon girl. I'm not proud of it, but you know, back in the day. So yes, when I did it, it was dramatic. I mean, you wouldn't want to go out. It looked like all of a sudden, like I had these brown coffee grinds is kind of the best way. They come up to the surface. It's really dark. And the problem is you can't really cover it with makeup because it just, from a distance, if you have to do a Zoom call, you can cover it with makeup. If you're going to be seeing people face to face, it's going to look like you use makeup to cover up essentially scabs. It wasn't nothing, but it wasn't like, you know, getting a fractional laser. It wasn't like,
I know. And by the way, that's a laser that I think people mistakenly think will help melasma.
Right.
I'm a very outspoken member of the dermatologic community against Fraxel for melasma.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, the thing about Fraxel is it's really good for like resurfacing, you know, to make your skin look better on the surface. Although now I think the non-invasive lasers do a better job at stimulating collagen and giving you radiance. But the idea of it's like the jack of all trades, master of none. It's supposed to sand off the skin and remove some of the discoloration with it. The key thing to know now is that for every single problem, there is a specific laser for that problem. Mm-hmm. So you want to really seek out the lasers that are the specialists. That's how it works now. These lasers are like robots that are specialized in certain problems. And so the downtime with the IPL laser, for example, is absolutely nothing compared to Fraxel. Fraxel is actually burning off skin, right? That's raw, eroded, invasive skin
yes.
procedure.
Not Fraxel, leaving the house for a week at least, maybe two.
Fraxel is that. IPL yeah. is only going to get those little blotches and yeah. heat them up and break them down.
But I do want to say to people at home, don't be fooled that because it isn't as much downtime or as much pain that IPL isn't going to deliver phenomenal results. Because I think that is one of the ones that's like the most visually dramatic, in my opinion.
Before and after. Oh, I completely agree with you, Amber. There's yeah. no question. And that is actually it's a testament to modern technology to get great results with less downtime. Not that you're not seeing the downtime, so you can't be getting the good results. There's no question. This point you just made, I say to my patients on a regular basis, clear up the hyperpigmentation, the melasma, the discoloration, and get an even skin tone. That is the single most aha moment that people mm-hmm. say has changed their life. And right. it's the most underestimated one beforehand. They can't believe it. I'm gonna get a nicer look. They're so blown away by the benefit. It's just radiance.
I know prices now vary depending on where you are in the country and how many treatments, but what is like the ballpark range now for a single IPL?
I would say it's probably like $1,200.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I think the number is.
Which is like a fraction of these other lasers that, like I said, are going to, you know, we did the Halo laser and.
Major.
I couldn't leave my house for a week. Somebody was like, please don't get near my coffee because I don't want your skin falling off.
Right.
It was gorgeous afterwards and the glow is real and all of the things, but But yeah, I love this. I love all my girlfriends are calling me now saying, what do I do? And I'm like, go talk to somebody, board certified dermatologist,
right.
Somebody who has done this a lot, read the reviews and go look into IPL because I think it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. So if people at home are thinking, okay, well, maybe that's either not in my budget or I'm not ready to take that jump, are there other methods that we can use for reducing hyperpigmentation?
Well, there's skincare.
Yeah.
There are skincare products. And talk about, technology and new discoveries. I will tell you that I'm proud to say that one of the products that I have in my skincare line in the Dr. Dennis Gross skincare is something that works on melasma and hyperpigmentation that it's spectacular and floors people with the results. And I named it the IPL serum after the laser because that was my gold standard. And I got to tell you though, the gold standard that I wanted to, that had preceded it, which is my inspiration that I wanted to get away from was hydroquinone.
Right.
That's a really harsh ingredient. So
right.
I created the IPL serum and we did our clinical testing and it performed as well as hydroquinone without the irritation and without that possible rebound hyperpigmentation that you can get. Sometimes hydroquinone, irritate the skin. So it made people's dark spots get darker. So
right.
it's possible now with great ingredients to really make a difference without laser.
Can you share like what are some of the ingredients that are helping that?
Well, the key thing is that it is a vitamin C product, right? Mm-hmm. So vitamin C is a phenomenal ingredient, not only for its antioxidant properties and collagen stimulation properties, it also helps with the overproduction of pigmentation, of melanin. And it's more complicated than that. It also works on transfer issues, which is something that's a little, the 201 level of hyperpigmentation. But then there are other ingredients that mixed together, and that's where the science of formulating skincare comes in. And what happens is that other ingredients also get into that pipeline of production of melanin and start to interrupt its production. It's hyperproduction. That's what melasma is. Too much pigment. Okay.
Right.
So you can use other ingredients that interrupt that. It's called the pathway of production. Like if you think about melanin as being like a train with six different cars all linked together as it passes by on the in front of you on the tracks. Well, you can actually stop the assemblage of all six cars necessary to make that long six car train. And that's what the different ingredients do. So I'm a big believer in using different ingredients to target the same problem coming at it in different ways. And that's one of my mantras is that there's no such thing as one magic bullet ingredient. So this IPL serum that I produce is a product that uses multiple ingredients. And so things that work on overproduction of melanin, something called azelaic acid, and these are natural, by the way, arbutin, which comes from bearberry extract, and another extract called uva-ursi, not the most common household names of ingredients, I must say. I understand that. Licorice root extract also has been shown to help prevent the overproduction, And then you have other ingredients in there that work to soothe the skin. Sometimes overproduction comes from skin that's a little bit irritated and inflamed. And so you have to give soothing ingredients. So many times people will just have all these different ingredients in the bottle and some work better than others, but together they're in there for everybody to help their melasma get better.
Now, I do want to say, so in addition, now we've talked about inhibiting the transfer, using sunscreen to stop this, stop the overproduction of melanin before it even begins. But you are so well known for the peels. So is it also important, like I know a big part of this, three-pronged approach to reducing hyperpigmentation is also exfoliation.
That's correct. And that,
yeah.
And yes, the peels are fantastic.
Yeah.
They are. The Alpha Beta Peel is a great additional product.
Okay? Right.
I also put exfoliators in the IPL serum.
For okay.
People who, because there's no, and they're not as, the exfoliation process is really important to keep balanced.
Yeah.
So the key thing about the alpha beta peel is it's two steps, right? And it does exfoliate the skin, but that's the least of it. It also stimulates collagen. It also helps reduce pores, and it also helps with uneven skin tones, and it does help with overproduction of pigmentation. It does so many things, which is why peels are so popular, and it's non-invasive. There's no downtime. But the IPL serum also has a little bit of exfoliation, because the key thing is that, you know, dead skin, which is what exfoliation targets, right, is your top layer. And that's what gives our skin this dullness, right?
Right.
And what's interesting is just below that top layer of dead, dull skin are your freshest, youngest epidermal cells, the newbies. And they're like all younger tissue. They give your skin this beautiful radiance, but they also help when you get rid of that top layer, increases the penetration of the ingredients that do the work. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. So that's why I just put a little bit of that in there. So it's not going to give you the same kind of rejuvenation as the alpha beta peel does for all different other issues like fine lines and wrinkles, but it does help the products that I just mentioned penetrate better.
You know, where they want to go. So it's interesting. I think that you touched before on skin irritation, and I want to talk to you because I think that sometimes, and especially now, we're seeing pigmentation. We're realizing like maybe I need a retinol. Maybe I need something to type, like I said, target the pigmentation. Do you feel like sometimes it's best to maybe just go for one thing? Do you think that sometimes we're like trying to do too many things, too many serums, and that that's actually really counterproductive?
Well, the first thing, just to tie it in, your answer is 100% on target, Amber. And I'm going to tell you that irritation leads to melasma. It leads to hyperpigmentation, right? The reddish hues on your skin, if you get them, the irritation, if you're prone to melasma, sometimes irritated skin does resolve. The redness goes away, the pink discoloration goes away, but the brown settles in as the aftermath. That's why it's called post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation. Indistinguishable from melasma.
Okay.
Yes, exactly. Indistinguishable. Treatable the same way as melasma. But the point is that, you know, a lot to talk about. People, I think, if you're trying to do too much at once, you do run the risk of irritation. And one of my mantras when I formulate a product, or when I just talk to a person individually, when you're cultivating a program for somebody, it's very important to know how to keep the skin in balance, to never increase discoloration by chancing irritation, or by making the skin too dry, or making the skin develop flakiness or an uncomfortable tight feeling that oftentimes is a signal that something's going wrong. So the reason for that is not only because it can backfire and lead to melasma and pigmentation problem, but because to get the best results, you need the skin's cooperation. And if the skin is in some way off balance, you're never going to get the results. So you're better off introducing things slower to your point, systematically, one by one, gradually, and get accustomed and build it in.
So do you feel, and maybe this is like a separate podcast, it's like better to just target one issue at a time? Like right now, I'm trying to, you know, I always love this time of year for retinols. And during the summer, I'll do like a 0.5, but I've been really trying to go to a 0.1. And no matter what happens, and I've tried every retinol under the sun, my skin gets a little irritated. So at best right now, it's like, you know, I do a 1% one night and then I have to wait two nights and I'm really trying to moisturize in between.
So here's my philosophy on that. Okay. First of all, be careful with the numbers game in general.
Okay.
Because sometimes more is not good.
Right.
And what I do is when I formulate, and you know, people always ask me, what's your percentage of this and what's your percentage of that? The question itself is misguided.
Right.
Because the real answer in terms of percentage is what it takes to deliver. It's just like the minimum daily requirement of a vitamin that you read on the label, you know, of your multivitamin. Every ingredient in human skin has receptors. That's how, those are the doorways, those are the gateways, those are the things that the molecules attach to that allows these molecules, these different active ingredients, to be active and to be welcomed internally into the skin cell to do their thing. And so vitamin C receptors are different than retinol, but they do have their individual doorways. The key thing, and this is where my company, we spend the bulk of all of our excess profit on research. And the research goes to developing what are the receptors? How many receptors are there for these different ingredients? What is the optimal concentration to get? You want to saturate them every single day, but you don't want to overwhelm them, because what does not get in, what is oversaturating the receptors that now no longer gets in, stays out and irritates.
Right.
And irritation causes free radicals, and free radicals is the enemy to anti-aging, because that breaks down your collagen, and inflammation we know is a terrible thing. So you're better off using something every day that's not going to ever throw your skin off balance, that you can therefore only use every third day. And just stay with the program and keep your skin looking good every day. I don't like to hear that. I think that, to me, the best analogy is exercise. Like, to me, I'm sitting in my basement, right there is my gym. And I work out every day, and I try to find the maximum workout that I can do where I feel worked. The next day, though, I'm not sore.
I am. It's funny, because now that you're saying this, I realize that I've kind of been in this pattern, well, my entire life with everything, whether it's diet or exercise or skincare, where it's like, go, go, go hard. But then you can't do really anything for the next couple of days. So it's better to have a little bit of a constant delivery. Consistent exercise is better than once a week at 110%.
That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. Consistency and mm-hmm. acceptance by the skin, by the body, and everything.
Right.
That's what it's all about. And that's what it goes back to. I said, keep the skin in balance. Now we're really talking about, that's what that is.
But what do you tell people who are just like, you've got so many great products and I want to tackle everything right now? No, one at a time.
Well, here's what I tell them. I'll tell you what I tell them is, my wife kids around. She thinks that the magnifying mirror is like the enemy to womanhood.
It's also phenomenal. Yes.
It's phenomenal. Okay. Right. So use it and then put it away till tomorrow. But what I might recommend, look in the mirror. Go ahead and analyze your skin and ask yourself, what's the top two things that bother me? Okay. And go after those, right? Is it fine lines and wrinkles here? Is it the hyperpigmentation? Is it a complexion issue? Is it large pores? Is it dullness? Is it sagginess? Pick two. Okay. And then start there. Don't try exactly what you said, I think is right. Don't go after everything at once. And by the way, another thing I'm a big believer in is when I formulate a product, the technology, in all honesty, does exist to give people results beyond what the intended purpose of the product is. So whenever I create a product, I know that these people who want something, the IPL serum for hyperpigmentation for melasma, has ingredients that makes the skin look radiant as can be, beautiful, mm-hmm. right away. And that is something that I think is, you know, I just think it's a decent thing to do, because you don't really need a separate product for radiance if you can give it to them easily. So a cleanser that is a makeup remover and a built-in toner, I don't believe in like saying, get this, and get this. And by the way, if you need this, you have something else, you don't need to do that with really good modern science. And by the way, you can still use natural ingredients, just deliver them a little better. That's the science, not necessarily synthetic. We're a clean brand. So the point is that pick your two biggest problems, and chances are you're going to see improvement in four different things. Okay.
Right.
And the one thing I want to say too, now that you're making me think about, I feel like I'm in an exam room here. If you got to know whether or not you have sensitive skin, you know, people think about their skin type as I'm dry, I'm oily, I'm combo, right? The fourth type is sensitive, right?
Yeah.
People who turn red easily. People who are whose skin gets dry very easily. That is the most important skin type to recognize in yourself. And by the way, you can be sensitive and oily. You can be sensitive and combo, sensitive and dry. The amount of oil production that your skin makes is an independent thing compared to your sensitivity. Mm-hmm. And if you're sensitive, when you pick and you shop and you're attacking your skin issues and you want to find products that work, be sure that they're okay for sensitive skin, because that means your skin is really prone to being thrown off balance. And there's nothing worse than a setback by not recognizing your skin's sensitivity.
Right. So then what would you say the right routine would be for tackling this with something like an IPL, with your IPL serum? Like, where does that fit into our routine?
It's something that you can use once a day at night. Okay. And it's designed not to irritate. Okay. I'll tell you, that's the truth. It's designed to not make your skin be thrown off balance.
Right.
And so it's something that is made for all skin types. I know that when I'm formulating a product, I'm creating a product for what I call the bell-shaped curve of society. I know that I'm treating people here at the end of the curve that are sensitive and people here whose skin can take anything. And these are going to be used by people in Minnesota and in Florida or around the world and of all different ethnicities, skin tones, skin types. So there's science that you can actually use in product formulas that make sure it's safe for everybody and keeps their skin in balance.
You know, I do want to point out, because you've said this so many times, when you are formulating, I think it's really special. And I want to point out to everybody, we've talked about this before, that you are actually involved in the formulation of these products. You're not sending it out to a lab. You're not throwing your name on this. You know, you are a practicing dermatologist, so you know what's really going on with our skin. I think that's really a special thing. So thank you for that.
It is. Well, thank you. I know that's my skin cancer research background. And, but you know, what's funny, I'm going to share this with you and your special audience. So I'm working on another product right now, and I have super sensitive skin. And this morning I tried something and it was too strong for me. Okay. And I got, I'm not sure if it's showing up on camera, but I got all this redness in through here and here. And maybe it's better now, but 6 hours ago I was really red. So I'm a walking testimony to what I know sensitive skin is all about.
Sure.
But I think more importantly, I've seen a lot of patients and the science of skin biology is really important to take into consideration. So it's been an incredible journey for me to be able to formulate products, and be a practicing dermatologist. You know, that combo, has been a real pleasure.
Well, thank you. And is there anything else? You know, we talked about lasers, we talked about the IPL, we talked about products, especially ones that are hydroquinone free. Is there anything else that we should be considering if we are worried about hyperpigmentation and melasma?
Well, I got to tell you, you should know risk factors too. You know, people, it's younger women in general who are at risk, right? What you got, and so, you know, birth control pills, definitely can predispose you, right? Pregnancy, nursing, also part of the life cycle of women. That time of year, at that time of their life, they're really prone to it. So you got to be careful to wear sunscreen, avoid the sun. And by the way, that's no guarantee you won't get it anyway, but you're at increased risk during those times. The other thing is, whenever you're prescribed a medication for whatever reason by a doctor, you should always ask whether or not it has any tendency to make you more sensitive to the sun.
Yep.
And I think that's been, unfortunately, I've got to tell you, I'm blown away by people not being told this. You know, antibiotics, even a brief course of antibiotics, you know, minocycline given in droves to people, you know, who are in peak reproductive years, you know, who are walking around, women of those age, of the reproductive years, have high levels of estrogen and high levels of progesterone, and they're sensitive to, they could be sensitive to the sun, and they're more apt to get melasma very commonly. But sometimes they're fine until they have a complexion problem and get a dermatologist to prescribe an antibiotic, and they get melasma, which plagues them for 5 years after that.
Right.
But there are some lesser known medications, and instead of memorizing the list, always ask your doctor, does this possibly cause me to be more sensitive to the sun, not just for the melasma, but for skin cancers? You know, you got to be careful.
Hey, and if you forget to ask your doctor, you can always ask your pharmacist too. I find that like you can call, I know the pharmacists over, I use Duane Reade, are phenomenal.
I agree with you.
I'm actually doing a penicillin challenge because I'm allergic to so many antibiotics, and they were like, maybe you're not allergic to penicillin anymore. So I had to go pick up some penicillin, and my from, she was like, no, you're allergic to this. I can't give this to you. And I said, no. We're going to be trying this out. I know. Exciting Great. Times in my life. We'll see.
I know, but that was a good pharmacist.
Yeah. You know, it's good. It's absolutely good. So, I want to thank you so much for coming on. You are such a wealth of knowledge, and I wish, we could just sit here for hours and hours and hours. But it does sound like, you know, at the end of the day, there is a treatment for melasma. It's not something you have to live with forever, but, I just want to kind of remind people, just because we can treat it, you want to make sure you're still preventing it. I had to tell my girlfriends, I'm like, you got to wear sunscreen, because you can go for the IPL, you can get it cleared up, but if you sit out in the sun without sunscreen again next summer, it's just going to get worse. It's just going to come back.
I hear you. I completely agree. I really do. Treatment is the best. Prevention is the best treatment. It really is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So Dr. Gross, if people want to come and see you, I know your products are available on, Dennis Gross Skincare, Dr. Dennis Gross Skincare, or ddgskincare.com.
Yeah. Dr. Dennis Gross Skincare. That's right.
And also sold in Sephora. Is it Ulta too?
No. Or you, but it's just exclusive. We have our own website, .com and Sephora.com. Very commonly. Right.
And then if people want to come and see you, what's the best way to find you?
I'm on 71st and 5th Avenue in Manhattan, in Bridgehampton at the Topping Rose Spa, which I took over for COVID protections purposes. I just wanted no one else there, so they agreed. You can just Google me. I only have one phone number, and my main address is the one in Manhattan on 5th Avenue. And
amazing.
My staff will take care of you.
Are you coming back to New York?
I'm in New York every day, every week.
Okay, good.
I go back and forth. Oh, no, okay. Listen, that is the practice,
That is the practice. All right, well, I would have to come in, because I didn't realize that, we just moved up to the Upper East Side, fairly recently. So I think it's time for me to come in and start seeing you.
Okay, dear.
Sorry.
You look great, though.
Oh, well, you put on a little, a ring light and a little bit of makeup, it helps a lot. You look great too. Thank you so much. And of course, everybody at home, if you've got questions for me to ask Dr. Dennis Gross, I will happy pass them on. You can write me at hello@ArtBeautyPodcast. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram @ArtBeautyPodcast. And of course, here on YouTube @ArtBeautyPodcast. And as always, we will see you next Tuesday. Bye.